Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I am Chinedofo in Washington. Today is Monday, December 25th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Vote counting continues in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but spokesman for the opposition's Moise Katumbi says they will not accept the outcome of the December 20 general election.
We cannot recognize the further results published by the CENI. We are convinced that what is resulting from the CENI is not credible at all.
Growing concerns over the health of Sudan's children as the war intensifies, Kenya kickstarts efforts to save the endangered white rhino, the city of Bethlehem cancels all Christmas festivities, and Malawi bans maize imports from Kenya and Tanzania over disease concerns.
We are going to see a large number of women losing their lives. We are going to see a lot of children losing their lives because of the fact that the infrastructure that's typically established in a wartime has not been done.
And Christmas and New Year messages from our listeners, those stories are coming up on Daybreak Africa. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the spokesperson for opposition presidential candidate Moise Katumbi says they will not accept the outcome of the December 20 general election. Olivier Kamitatu, who also ran as a candidate for parliament, says the process lacked transparency and was marred with logistical challenges and voter irregularities. His remarks come as the National Independent Electoral Commission, or CENI, is beginning to release results of the vote. Businessman and former Governor Moise Katumbi, who led the opposition called Ensemble, was backed by several opponents, including a former prime minister, who stopped their own presidential campaigns to support his candidacy. Kamitatu tells VOA's Peter Clote that the party will decide its next line of action after poll observers from church groups issued their reports about the elections.
You know that this electoral process, these elections were totally chaotic. So it's not fair to say that the elections were credible in view of all the fraud that marred the electoral process. We cannot recognize the fraudulent results published by the CENI. And we are convinced that what is resulting from the CENI is not credible at all. And we are going to call on the population to mobilize and to get moving to defend their rights.
So, but if you do that, aren't you going to create more trouble?
After a victory resulting from non-credible election fraud, President Tshisekedi will lack legitimacy to lead the country and address all the security issues in the eastern part of Congo, for example, where the war continues to rage. We know perfectly well that Moise Katumbi won in all constituencies across the country. His victory should not be subject to any dispute. We are waiting for the report from the observers coming from the Catholic and Protestant Church.
Some of the opposition presidential candidates called for a rerun of the election. Is this the call of Moise Katumbi as well?
Moise Katumbi wants credible elections. You know that by virtue of Article 64 of our Constitution of the Congolese, since every Congolese has the right to defeat any individual who wants to seize power by force, Moise Katumbi and the opposition will launch actions in every province of the country to demand that genuine elections be held.
Well, there are avenues by which you can challenge an outcome of an election, including going to the court to address your concern about the elections.
The elections were chaotic. Logistical problems caused huge delays.
And that was VOA's Peter Clote speaking with Olivier Kamitatu, spokesperson for the opposition presidential candidate Moise Katumbi from Kinshasa. And the Nigerian army said Sunday that 16 people have been killed in an attack in north-central Nigeria, where clashes between herders and farmers are common. The French news agency AFP reports a military spokesman said the attack occurred around midnight Saturday in the village of Mushu in Plateau State. The region is on the dividing line between Nigeria's mostly Muslim north and mainly Christian south. It has seen ethnic and religious tensions turn violent several times in recent years. It was not immediately clear what sparked the latest attack and who was responsible. Security personnel were deployed to prevent any more clashes in the area. State Governor Caleb Mufwang condemned the latest attack as, quote, barbaric, unquote, and vowed to bring the perpetrators to justice, his spokesman told reporters. And according to British charity Save the Children, some 30,000 children will be born in war-torn Sudan over the next 3 months without access to proper medical care and medicines. The group said the lack of basic health care endangers both mother and unborn children, heightening the risk of long-term and deadly complications. Mohamed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
At least 45,000 children are expected to be born in Sudan in the next 3 months. Around two-thirds of them will be born without proper medical care amid months of conflict that has destroyed many health facilities in the country. The head of children protection at Save the Children International in Sudan, Osman Adam Abdul Karim, told VOA that the recent escalation of violence in many parts of Sudan has made his organization fear for pregnant women and millions of others. In the town of Wad Madani in Al Jazeera State, he says the medical system has collapsed.
There is no health facilities going to be operational. There is two doctors killed in the last 3 days. And all of the medical staff, they evacuated and they left the place. And also the supply chain to reach out the areas, it was very challenging. There is no, it's difficult to move. And that's affecting the whole supply chain system for delivering of drugs and also to make the medical staff available.
The recent escalation of conflict has seen more than 25,000 pregnant women on the move from violence, and Save the Children warns the women likely will be cut off from the health facilities and right nutrition needed to support their babies. Health experts say the first 4 weeks of a child's life carry the highest risk of death and are the most dangerous for the mother. Most of the deaths are caused by birth asphyxia, premature birth or infections. Hala Al-Karib is the regional director of the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa. She says there are not enough facilities in Sudan right now to help women and children.
We are going to see a large number of women losing their lives. We are going to see a lot of children losing their lives because of the fact that, you know, the infrastructure that's typically established in a wartime, you know, has not been done. And that's in itself is an issue. The other issue, which is the total failures of the mediation efforts.
Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
And Kenyan and international researchers are hoping to save the northern white rhino species from extinction. They have created 29 frozen embryos using eggs from an aging female northern white rhino for implantation into a surrogate female rhino from another species. Again, Mohamed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Samuel Mutisia is the head of research and species at the Old Pejeta Conservancy in central Kenya. He says his team used 29 eggs taken from one of the two old white rhino females that remain in the conservancy and have never produced offspring. Mutisia says his team aimed to fuse the eggs with saved northern white rhino sperm to create a pure embryo. He says the process has been difficult and challenging. The two remaining female white rhinos at the conservancy, Najin, and her offspring, Fatu, cannot carry a pregnancy due to their age. Najin was born in 1989, Fatu was born in 2000. Back in 2021, scientists decided to stop using Najin's eggs in the breeding program due to her age and health. The two male rhinos in the conservancy both died. The last one, known as Sudan, died in 2018. Northern white rhinos roam freely in the Central African Republic, Chad, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Sudan for centuries, but years of conflict and poaching for their horns have led to their near extinction. Philip Murudi is a vice president of conservation science and planning at the African Wildlife Foundation. He says the conservationists have not given up on saving the northern white rhinos from extinction.
Well, it is not very common to do it for a large mammal, so it's still an experiment. There are chances of success, but there are also chances of failure. But we haven't lost. As conservationists, we should not lose hope on a species. Very expensive, but chances of success may be there. Species can be recovered from extinction, from near extinction. I'm concerned about, of course, there is. Some people say it is too costly, but for me, I would say that let the efforts be put in place. This species was there and had functions beyond just being seen. It has ecosystem services functions.
Eggs collected from the animals are flown to Italy for maturation and fertilization. Scientists hope to implant the eggs into a surrogate southern white rhino female. Mutisa says the southern white rhino will not necessarily transmit any genetic material. Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I am Chinedofo in Washington, filling in for James Batten. Today is Monday, December 25th. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Christmas and the days leading up to it are usually high seasons in Bethlehem. But this year, the city cancelled all festivities because of the Israel-Hamas war. Linda Grastin reports.
A church in the Palestinian West Bank city of Bethlehem, the traditional birthplace of Jesus, displays a Christmas nativity scene created in solidarity with the Palestinians suffering from the war in Gaza. The Reverend Munther Issa is the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem.
A manger in the midst of a rubble resembling a destroyed house in Gaza, and the child Jesus as a child was under the rubble. We've seen so many images of children being pulled out of the rubble, and to us this is a message that Jesus identifies with our suffering.
Bethlehem in the Christmas season is usually packed with international tourists who come to celebrate in festive Manger Square. But the ongoing war in Gaza and Hamas's continuous rocket bombardment on Israel have completely shut down tourism in both Israel and the West Bank. The Bethlehem municipality has canceled all Christmas celebrations. Hana Hananya is the mayor of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem city is a Palestinian city. And we are in mourning, we are in sad, as any other Palestinian city among Gaza Strip and West Bank. So we canceled all festivities of Christmas and all celebrations because of this aggression against our people in Gaza Strip.
The mayor says that about 70% of Bethlehem's economy is dependent on tourism. Now most of the souvenir shops are shuttered and about 70 hotels, usually overbooked during Christmas, have closed down. Young, unemployed men sit around frustrated. Laith Rudeda is 19 years old and unemployed. He says that there is no opportunity to work and that the situation is very bad and getting worse as the war goes on. Before the war, he could work. Now, he says, there is nothing. Some of the few tourists visiting the city, like Pavel Kriminetsky, are Russian Orthodox Christians from Moscow.
Not afraid, no. Why? For we are Russians. But I don't afraid missile. Because I'm also officer of Russian army.
While all festivities are canceled, religious services will still be held. Mayor Hananya says that he will spend most of Christmas Day in prayer.
We'll concentrate on praying for peace.
Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Bethlehem.
Israel continues its military operations against Hamas and its allies ahead of one of Christianity's major holidays. But in the United States, officials warn of heightened threats due to the conflict in Gaza. VOA's Arash Rabasadi has the story.
Christmas Eve in Gaza. The Israeli military releases footage claiming to show snippets of what it described as intense operations in northern Gaza and to the south in Khan Yunis. Israel says its strikes target areas of Hamas infrastructure. Meanwhile, Palestinians in Khan Yunis gathered the bodies of their dead ahead of a funeral service following an overnight airstrike. much of the world has for weeks been calling for extended breaks in fighting to deliver desperately needed aid to civilians living in Palestinian territories. U.S. President Joe Biden, wishing reporters a Merry Christmas, said he had a long talk with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden called the details private, but said he did not ask for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, in Tel Aviv, Netanyahu spoke at his weekly cabinet meeting. He confirmed the conversation with Biden, adding that Israel is a sovereign state with wartime considerations that would not be dictated by external pressures. The conflict in Gaza threatens to spill outside the Middle East, with U.S. officials warning of a spike in anti-American sentiment due to Washington's support of Israel.
We're helping Israel deal with the destruction of Hamas, defending themselves after October the 7th. Jihadist groups all over the world are calling on their members to attack America as payback for us helping Israel.
The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says at least 20,000 Palestinians have died since the campaign against the group began following the October 7 attacks that killed 1,200 in Israel. U.S. officials say there is concern the country's support for Israel may bring blowback to the American homeland.
The current conflict is causing, I think, contributing to a heightened threat environment. What we are seeing is foreign terrorist organizations taking advantage and calling upon their adherents to act, to do something. And then we're seeing individuals and small groups that we worry will basically take twisted inspiration from the conflict overseas and from the very searing images that we're seeing that came out of the brutal, brutal terrorist attacks that occurred on October 7th.
At a time when Christians celebrate Christmas, a mostly silent night creeps through one of the religion's most important cities.
The whole world is celebrating Christmas this year, but not Bethlehem, not the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bethlehem is celebrating Christmas with sadness and sorrow because of what's happening in Gaza and in all the West Bank, all Palestinian territories.
Bethlehem's churches this year framed the nativity theme depicting the birth of Jesus Christ in barbed wire and rubble, a show of solidarity with the people of Gaza. Officials here say tourism this year dropped from 2.3 million up to September to no tourists since. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Thank you, Arash, and we bring you holiday greetings from some of our listeners.
Hello, VOA. This is Mal Adama in Seattle, Washington. To all my friends across the world, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. As we transit into the new year, we pray for the whole world to cease all these havoc and fighting across the world. And we pray that 2024 should be the year for peace and laughter. Thank you.
Africa. I'm James Roy Majok from United States, Bantutown. I want to send my greeting to my mother, plus my friend who are listening on VO News. A special greeting goes to Peter Goch Anyang Majongdul in Bor, Jacob Dior Macheng in Ural. Final greeting goes to two journalists of VO News, Peter Colote and James Batty. Guys, thanks for good services that you always delivered. Thanks. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year.
Greetings, VOA. I am Chibweze, a CK from Abuja, Nigeria. I am very happy to share in this period of love and joy with my fellow listeners and followers of VOA. My shout out goes to my wonderful journalists of VOA, such as James Boateng Washington, Douglas Mpuga, Miriam Ojambo, Timothy Obiezu, Samson O'Malley, and many others. And to my own loved ones too, Norma Isike, Uzombe Isike, Ezine, Onyinye Amara, Chomo Onyekaba, Iman Dupe, Manase Danjuma, Ike Ede Onyekaba, Choko Odiegbu, and a host of other loved ones too. I just want to say Happy Christmas and a prosperous 2024. Once again, I am Chibweze Ezike from Abuja, Nigeria. Thank you.
Happy Christmas, everybody. Good morning, VOA listeners all over the world. My name is Innocent Oloko, calling from Edo Delta, Nigeria. I want to wish all VOA listeners Happy Christmas and a prosperous 2024 New Year. I want to also wish my students, pupils of Jubilee Academy, Happy New Year and prosperous New Year. And to my family, my entire family, my brothers and sisters, my mother, Polycarp Oloko, Christiana Ogbedi, Sunday Oloko, Philomena Oloko, Onome Omosele, and others, Happy New Year and prosperous 2024. I wish all listeners of you, ill listeners in the morning also, Happy 2024. Anniversary and prosperous New Year with long life and prosperity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello, good morning, Voice of America. I'd like to send out my Christmas greeting to all members of Yakoko community, especially those who are dear to me and the youth of Yakoko all as a whole. I'd like to shout out my Christmas greetings also to my wife, Grace Jonathan, my two daughters, Rebecca and Agatha, my elder sister, Mrs. Rosalina Janos Naredo, and her husband, Mr. Sugar. And I also like to extend my greetings to all my friends, all the Sambo, Ambrose Paya, Martin Jalaya, Cyril, and all other friends that are very dear to me. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I cannot sing. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you all.
Please send your Christmas and New Year messages to the following WhatsApp number, +1 202 258 3076. Once again, that's +1 202 258 3076. And that's it for this Monday, December 25th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your day with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the entire Daybreak Africa crew, I'm Chinedu Ofor in Washington, wishing you a great day. We'll see you again Tuesday morning.
Bringing women voices to the conversation on things that matter to the hearts and minds of women. From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent. We hear your voices. Our voices. right here on VOA on Wednesdays